Here I have Tommy Sandvik. Tommy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Tired. Been spending an exorbitant amount of time trying to learn how to do audio editing to improve the quality of my content.
Yeah.
So I found you on Instagram, I think, and I noticed what got me connected to you was the public speaking thing. And I noticed you were in Toastmasters, and I have lots of questions about that. And just kind of what you're doing in general, I feel like it's kind of related to what I'm doing. And I think a lot of people in the city of Orlando that are entrepreneurs, business people are thinking of going into doing something like that can benefit from learning from someone like you who's doing it. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing. What's your current project?
Yeah. So right now I have, I've made a shift. So I do speaking for the kind of idea worth spreading that I utilize is about the story that fear creates in your head, especially as an entrepreneur, that can really drive decisions. And if you're not careful, you will, at least in my case, I ended up in kind of financial ruin because of it. So I've been really on a quest to bring that message to entrepreneurs and to really unlock the potential people have, because I feel that fear is what holds people back. And more specifically, it's not necessarily the feeling, but the thought process that gets created in your head, the story. And so I've been out, going through that, working. I'm in several networking groups and a couple opportunities there. I spoke at the Life on Fire Ignite event in California in December with that talk. So I've been doing that. And then I do high performance coaching for network marketers. I really love the industry, and so I do that. And then, of course, I have myself a sales organization. So I don't like to say I manage, but I coach the sales organization. So I basically bring all the personal development concepts to entrepreneurs, and then, of course, into my own organization to pour some gasoline on the fire. When I find the fire, I pour into them using every tool I have, and then that increases production and therefore increases success. So that's really what I do when I'm out with speaking and networking. Anyway, that's the route that I go.
I tell you one thing, I'm fired up just listening to you talk. You're definitely a confident guy. I love it.
Yeah. Confidence is an interesting thing. In school, I always tell the story that I was the guy who stood in front of the entire eighth grade class at the spelling bee. I was an alternate and the person was sick. So I ended up getting up, being bumped up into the spelling bee, and I get up in front of the entire school. And the first word was rough, and I spelled it R-U-F-F. And you would think at that point that my speaking career would be over, but over a series of, just changes as you grow, as I grew, I started to develop confidence. I ended up becoming a mobile DJ. That certainly had a lot to do with it, where I had to kind of flip the switch on the microphone, and there was no choice. At 8 o'clock, that bride, if I didn't start, there was going to be a complaint. So little by little, the confidence grew, and then I just did like a whole ton of personal development the last year. You wouldn't even believe the stories if I told you. That really took that to the next level. So confidence is definitely achievable. It takes some work for sure, but with a lot of persistence, like, it definitely comes. And now, as we were talking about before, I am way more confident in front of a group of people actually than I am one-to-one sometimes. So I love being in front of people.
I couldn't agree more, Tommy. One thing kind of I wanted to touch on, you mentioned fear and personal development. I think a lot of people, I have a close personal friend who I'm trying to motivate to create their own blog, because they're a subject matter expert in a very niche field. And some people just aren't as outgoing. And I see a lot of creative and talented people that are just unable to allow themselves to get out of that fear zone because they're afraid of possible repercussions with their job or what other people are going to think about them, or, you know, if they're going to have haters on Instagram.
You haven't arrived till you have haters.
I was talking to someone earlier today. I was like, I cannot wait till I have official haters, because that's how I know that I kind of made it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
I noticed you're from, I had to mention this. I'm looking at your Facebook page. You're from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I am. That's born and raised.
Wow. I don't know anything about Wisconsin except for the Green Bay Packers. Are you a football fan?
Yes, absolutely. Like, I was born also with, like, blood is green and gold. So, yes, with a cheesehead, yeah. My husband is Mexican, so I had to convert him over to being a cheesehead. But we have some pretty funny pictures. We went to a preseason game. So I have this cute little Mexican with a big old cheesehead and a Packer jersey standing in front of Lambeau Field. It was a pretty proud moment for me.
That's great.
I met him down in Orlando when I was working for Disney. And then we moved to Wisconsin for a short period of time. And so he didn't really get it when I lived in Orlando, like why I was like, no, you don't understand. The Packer game is on. Nothing else happens because the Packer game is on. And then when he got to Wisconsin and like even the gays all get together and watch the Packer game, then he really understood. So the stereotype, but my own type people. But yeah, it is what it is. That's the truth about Wisconsin. So yeah,
that's super interesting. So how long have you been in Orlando?
Well, I lived here originally. Well, I did the Disney College program in 2004, 2005, and worked at the golf courses and worked at A-Trax Dance Club. May it rest in peace. And then I came back in 2009 after I graduated after I graduated from college and lived here till 2013, went home, took care of my parents' house, and moved back here in September 2016, so like a year and a half ago. So I'm you know, relatively new, I guess, but I did live here for a good period of time. Enough to know that I didn't want to live anywhere near I-4. I definitely knew that. So I'm happy over at Lake Nona. I just hop on the 417 and I can get anywhere I want to go without touching I-4, which is a good place to be. Costs a bit of money, but that's okay.
You got to pay to play sometimes. That's especially true in Orlando. My father lives out there in Lake Nona. You know where the Panera Bread is?
Yeah.
Like kind of across the street from that.
Yeah. I mean, for those listening to Orlando, this is a huge and upcoming area. There are so much happening over here. And if you get over here and start networking, the relationships you put in place today, in 5 years, everyone's going to be profiting very well from those relationships. So,
yes,
I'm in it for the long game, and there's some great people over here. So don't get me wrong. They're awesome people, but the area is just so new and up and coming that there's just massive potential over here.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'm kind of study real estate. That's something I plan to use as a long-term passive income strategy in the future.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say about what I've studied about real estate here in the Orlando area, Lake Nona is undervalued for sure.
Yeah.
I hear talks that they're going to build a huge mall over there.
Yes.
And they built the medical center, and
the VA center.
And the new, yes, the VA. I'm a veteran myself. I was in the Navy.
Oh, awesome.
I go there personally. That new center is beautiful. If anybody who's listening is a vet and you're still going to the VA in Tampa, you really need to check out the one in Lake Nona. It's severely undervalued. I think that area is really going to blow up, especially after they build a mall. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the medical center is even done, really. Have they finished that yet?
Yeah, I think so. The one, if we're thinking about the same one, that's done. They have the Nemours Children's Hospital.
They have a Ronald
McDonald House. Mm-hmm. They have the U.S. Tennis Association has a big campus over here.
That's right.
And so that's bringing a lot in. And then they're building like a water park, but it's more of like a water sports park, I think is the better way to describe it. So they're building that over here, and I heard something about like a big company's coming in that is going to be the central location for all of their people worldwide who will have to go through a once a year training. So all that traffic is going to be coming through Lake Nona because we're so close to the airport. And there's so much undeveloped land, so there's going to be like a huge influx of people. So, needless to say, traffic is going to go up, but that's okay. It's still not as bad as the Disney area, so I'll take it. But yeah, there's a lot coming over here. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, and speaking of changes in demographic, I'm paying a very close attention to what the recent hurricanes are doing to the change in demographics here in Orlando. There's a lot of people I've seen networking out there, meeting people that are coming from Puerto Rico and places like Venezuela where their government's in ruin. You mentioned your partner's Latino, so I'm sure he probably is aware of this stuff. Me being Latino, I talk to a lot of other Latinos, and it's really interesting. This A lot of people that are listening, this is another reason I kind of wanted to start the podcast. I'm tired being from Orlando my whole life, and I'm sure maybe you've seen this since you've spent a lot of time in your life outside of Orlando or Florida. There's a weird reputation that Floridians have, or Florida in general has, as being a real backwards, weird place. But I couldn't disagree with that more. We have a very vibrant gay community here. We have very racially diverse in Orlando. So I kind of want to change people's perceptions of Orlando, and it's not just Mickey Mouse
Yeah,
and guns.
very true.
It's we're really diverse people, and that's another motivator that I had for starting the podcast, to kind of get people, interesting people, to tell their stories that are living here in Orlando.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're a melting pot, and that doesn't mean, yeah, I definitely don't think it's a backwards thing. I think it's great. And I think, I mean, what I witnessed being in Wisconsin when Pulse happened, and seeing how everyone came together, to me showed how progressive the city is, how supportive it is. Had that happened in other cities, even within Florida, the response may have been different. And so I think it just shows that, the city has heart. And that was so important to me when we were looking at coming back, if we wanted to go to like Fort Lauderdale or if we wanted to come to Orlando. And that was a big reason why, we were driven back here. We just, truly feel at home here. And it's a really great community, and I don't want to leave it. He's going to school at Full Sail, and he wants to go out to Hollywood and be a director. I'm like, that's fine. We're just gonna have to be bi-coastal because I'm not leaving Orlando. So
Wow.
it's one of those things.
That's great.
Yeah, big dreams.
What was it like, being a gay man in Wisconsin, the time you were there? Were you open about your
No,
sexuality?
it's kind of funny. Well, this went a different direction. That's okay. So I actually, the long and short is I went to a Catholic school for 7 years. I was in the closet. But I came out to a couple select people like my senior year of high school. And then, I thought I was going to go off to college and come out, and that didn't really happen. And it took me actually, number one, marching in a drum and bugle corps. I knew I was safe to come out there, so I marched with the Blue Stars for 1 summer. And then right after that, I came to Disney, and I actually came out while I was in Orlando, because I figured if something, if I didn't get the support of people back home or of my family, I was like, well, screw it. I'm living in Orlando. I've got a job. I've got Disney. I've got people around me that I like and support me. And I've got a great community here. So I just won't go home. Thankfully, it didn't work out that way. And they are accepting. But I, yeah, it was. I would say that Wisconsin. I was in La Crosse, which is has three colleges in it. So it is barely progressive, but it is. So it wasn't too bad, but it's kind of interesting because my coming out process was really in this like little protective bubble that is Disney World. When I went back home, I just really had no concept of caring what anybody thought. So I just didn't let it get to me. I just kind of carried that attitude, and I still have carried that attitude. I joke because my big dream, my vision is to travel the country in an RV with I'm affiliated with a company called Life on Fire, and we have a subdivision called the Gays on Fire. And so I joke my yeah, all right. So my vision is to like travel the country and speak to LGBT youth, and have gays on fire across the side of this big RV. But I joke, we'll have to cover it up in Mississippi because we might get, burned at the stake. But aside from that, so I just really have a I don't care attitude about it for the most part. And being a coach and self-aware and understanding concepts of human psychology and how things in the past and belief systems form our responses, I just kind of figure, you know what, that's their stuff, not mine. The best thing I can do is be the example of what it means to be like everybody else, and I've always taken that approach. So I didn't have too much trouble because I just was me, and then things progressed anyway, and didn't in the country to where Wisconsin is like the Mississippi of the Midwest. Everyone around them was okay with gay marriage. Everyone around them is okay with marijuana legalization. Everyone around them is okay with Obamacare, and they're just the ones that go kicking and screaming. But so they're an interesting bunch. But yeah, I just kind of dealt with it.
Yeah, that I think that kind of thinking is people realize. I think anyone who's worth their weight in salt realizes how outdated that polarized thinking is, and the world is way more nuanced than the kind of groups or categories that currently exist for people to place themselves in, or the tribes, if you will. But thank you so much for sharing. I only ask because podcasting is a worldwide medium, and I think it's super powerful that we all share our stories because, like you said, fear that gets in your head, can prevent you from taking the first steps in your entrepreneurial endeavor, whatever that may be, creative or B2B, however you
Yeah,
decide to frame
it's
it.
really interesting. I if I can have a perfect example of that. It's related to coming out actually. So my first private client with coaching, she hired me to start up her entrepreneur journey. So the idea behind this is you are your business when it comes to the fear story. So she was came to me to start to get going coaching and to start a like financial coaching business. And so I said, okay, well, we can put some things in place. And as I started working with her, I realized she just wasn't making any progress, like stuck in this loop, in a loop, as we say. And so I did a deep dive with her, and it turns out that she was in the closet, and she had. Yeah, like now this is a good friend from high school. So I was like, okay. was not expecting that. But obviously I'm there for her. So over the course of the next 6 months, I got her moving in the right direction. And then I put her into had her do the Life on Fire challenge, which is a 7-day virtual challenge that kind of opens people up to identify what's holding them back. And I coached her in that. And then she enrolled in the coaching academy with Life on Fire. And then, like, the lid came off. And the next thing I know, she is now she's left her husband. She is, she just got a promotion, not a promotion, sorry. She actually got a new job. So she came out to most people, and I have permission to share this, so I'm not divulging a client story. I have permission to share it. So she came out to most people. She has completely ripped out the limiting beliefs through the programs that we have, the seminars that we do, and combined with the coaching. And she just got a new job, actually, and got more money. So she's really stepped into owning her greatness, her worth. And I think the thing, if people are looking at starting some kind of entrepreneur journey and they're afraid of the repercussions from somewhere, what I say to that is you are bigger than a piece of paper, and you are bigger than a cubicle. You're worth far more as a person than what you're being paid. No matter what the job is, you're always greater than that job. That's my stance. And I'm on a mission to help people with entrepreneurship just like you, because I think entrepreneurship is about learning how to own your worth. You know, when you become a coach, right, you have to be able to enroll people in your packages, and that could be a $10,000, you know, 6-month package. When you are a speaker, you have to be able to say, yes, I'm going to come in and I'm going to shift your audience, and it's going to be X amount of money, or I need to, or you have to stand up on the stage and, you know, offer something, so that there's some kind of monetary, you know, value involved as well. But that requires a great deal of confidence in yourself and in your own personal worth. And we come out of the womb with so much potential, and life and society and parents and teachers. And don't get me wrong, my dad's a teacher. I'm not targeting them, but I'm just saying that we kind of get beat into a box. And at some point in our life, being in a box doesn't work. And some of us start to get out of it, looking for a way out of it. And it's a journey, but the key to entrepreneurship 100% is personal development. You've got to rip out those limiting beliefs no matter what. And if I really went into all my businesses, that's what the common theme is that no matter what it was what was going on in my head is what led to the problems, but the subsequent breakthrough and led me down the path that I'm on.
I caught, you have a video on YouTube, I believe where you kind of talk, you made a mention that 90% of people at a certain point in our history had their own businesses or worked for themselves.
Yeah, it did. When we, you know, when we go back before the Industrial Revolution, it was common that everyone had a family business, and you learned, you know, within the family business, and that was how you made money. And then when the Industrial Revolution came, that really brought about the big corporation and the idea of employment. That worked for a period of time. But as we've now gone into not only a global economy where we're fighting labor markets from other you know, other countries, I've been the victim of that. I don't want to say victim, I don't like that word, but I've been on the receiving end of those boardroom decisions twice in my IT career. And then we shifted into the technology age. So now you've got robotics coming in, and you know, you go to McDonald's, you can order your own food now. You go to Walmart, it's self, not only is it self-checkout, you can go to Sam's Club in Lake Nona, and you actually are scanning things on the spot. It's going into your app, and then you hit checkout in the app, and it charges everything, and you show it to one person on the way out the door. That's it. It's all, yeah, it's all streamlined. So technology has taken over, and now we're moving, I mean, really the future is we're moving into the gig economy, which is, you know, it's the Uber, the Fiverr, the Airbnb, the Turo, where we're paid on a part, not so much by the hour, but on a production, right, a results-based concept. That's where things are moving. And then even within that, what's really becoming the next movement is subscription-based, like everything, is where it's going. You know, Uber eventually wants a subscription base with fully automated cars, and I mean, they want to take over the entire industry, right? So they would have the cars, they would have the insurance, they would have the supply chain. I mean, everything would be with Uber. So it's a shift that's been happening, and people are still beating their heads against the 40-40-40 plan, and it doesn't work. And the millennials are figuring it out that this concept for most people is just not, it's it's just not working. You have to jump from job to job now because either you get outsourced or you're not getting a raise or there's no room for advancement. And the only way is having a side hustle. It's entrepreneurship in some form, you know, getting something going on the side. And that's why I'm so passionate about it.
You know, Tommy, I couldn't agree with you more. I personally have, I've kind of subscribed to the realization that I am unemployable.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, I cannot stand, I cannot be happy, or maybe short term, but macro, I cannot see myself finding true fulfillment and working a 9-to-5, 40-hour job anywhere, you know? I think you're hitting it right on the nail. This whole, the internet, you know, people making online businesses is really changing the game. People need to wake up and pay attention. I was just reading an article where all the attention is, because I'm always focused on where the attention is, because that changes on a year-to-year basis. This I posted this on our Facebook. If you guys want to check it out, I have Views from Orlando on Facebook. It says the top 15 most popular social networking sites: Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And the difference between Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and the other 10 that are listed is hundreds of millions of people. It's absolutely incredible what's going on online. And yeah, absolutely. Hot take for me: Tesla already has the ability. I follow Tesla very closely. Yeah. One of my personal role models is Elon Musk. Early online entrepreneur. If you guys really want to get your side hustle on, study this guy. He taught himself coding and made PayPal. Come on, people.
Yeah, exactly. I've been thinking the Teslas same, are into really following. I mean, these guys have such big visions for what they want to do, and it's fun to watch.
And their visions are all predicated on some kind of humanitarian, at least outwardly. That's the marketing, you know?
Yeah.
I like to be optimistic and think that people like Elon Musk really do have a vested interest in the world, because really, if you think about it from a capitalistic standpoint, it's not good business if there's nobody on Earth and the world is uninhabitable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense.
It's not good. It's not good for the bottom line. So, you know, his business model is predicated on helping other people. And I think that's so important. That's so undervalued. Like, just being nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just having some kind of drive to help people, or make like what you shared, that you were able to help that friend of yours make that realization in her life. That's absolutely incredible. I live for moments like that. You should be so proud that you were able to change someone's life. I hope that I can affect change in someone's life through my podcast by sharing stories.
Yeah, it really is. Actually, I mean, we say that's our paycheck, you know, in coaching and really likewise in speaking. When you when you're taking the audience on a journey and shifting them, the cool thing about, you know, working with Life on Fire is I've brought several people in, and then I you know, into their company, and then in their coaching packages. So that includes the events that they do that are really, really deep, you know, deep work. And you see these massive, just massive shifts happen. And you know, I went back as a leader to one of the events, and to watch people that I had a direct hand in bringing in, to watch them shift and realize what was holding them back, what was the limiting belief, what did they need to get rid of. And that is the coolest thing, when you can like actually witness the ripple effect that's happening right before your very eyes. That is by far the reason to be in this industry in general, for me, in the personal development industry. It's about the ripple effect, that we're enacting generational change through what we do. And that's super powerful.
Man, I'm fired up. I'm fired up just thinking about it.
It's a remarkable thing. It really is. And that's, you know, that's where, you know, kind of what we got me into personal development was network marketing. And so that's why I'm passionate about, you know, and when we talk about the fear story, there's, you know, the talk I did at Ignite is online, but really quickly, it's that I went into network marketing. I went hardcore for a year, hit a brick wall, walked away because I was afraid to talk to people one-to-one. I was really good at recruiting, but not so good at selling the service one-to-one. So I walked away. I did Amazon. I built Amazon from zero to 500,000 in a year in sales with a drop shipping model. I shut that down because I was afraid, again, fear story, that I was going to, that Amazon was going to shut me down because I was kind of operating in the gray area. And then I was like, okay, well, let's do something not in the gray area. So I was importing products from China and grew that to 100,000 in a year, but it was a cash flow intensive business. And, you know, along the way I made decisions that ultimately were based on in fear, and this everything fell apart. And that's where I really went down this journey of personal development and realized just how much when people say it's everything, mindset is everything to entrepreneurship, it really, really, really is. Because if you don't have the head right, you don't get through the tough times, the financially difficult times, the failures, whatever it is, feedback, no failure. But to get through that and keep going is so difficult. And what's interesting, I mean, literally proof of it is I walked away from that business, the network marketing business, after I did on all this personal development, I came back to it. And within 90 days, my organization has grown by 14 people, and I've made over $2,000 in 90 days. that's incredible. Pretty, yeah. I mean, when you look at the statistics of how many people fail in network marketing or quit or however you want to say it, that it's proof that it's all about way of being and all about mindset. And that if you just have it and you can be in the right space and become the person who attracts and can lead, you can be successful. But that those same skills apply in any area of entrepreneurship is how I look at it. So it's a great gateway for people. So don't want to go on a whole rant about network marketing, but I feel like that's important because the skills transfer, and that's what I'm seeing happen. You know, I've been doing all this networking in Lake Nona for the last year and 3 months, and now that I come around to hey, yeah, you know, I'm doing the network marketing thing, and people are like happy to send customers to me because my way of being for the last year has been magnetic as I've done all of this work on myself. So the more you can do on yourself, and it goes even deeper than books. I mean, go to the seminars. I know some of them are kind of slimy when it comes to sales, but you still can get a lot out of them even if you don't buy anything else. Life on Fire is not like that, for the record, but it's really, 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 really important to having long-term success. If you ask any successful person who is an entrepreneur or who's been successful in network marketing or in any business, they've all done a massive amount of mindset work to own their worth and understand how to be outward focused and shift it to be the person that people want to do business with.
Wow, there's a lot of nuggets there, man. A lot of good stuff. Wow.
That was the flow. We talked about
that. Yeah, man. That's the thing. When that's why I'm so fired up about this podcast. We got into a flow of communication there that I love. That's what this is all about, man. That's definitely what this is all about. I wanted to ask, can you tell me a little bit more about Ignite?
About Ignite? Yeah, sure. Well, Ignite is one of Life on Fire's events. Ignite is held in California. They actually just had one. The next one's in June. So at Ignite, it's actually free, and it's a 3-day event, and they just pour everything, you know, into everybody. They have a coaching zone. You get a free coaching session, Yeah, it's really remarkable. People get amazing shifts from that event, and that's a little bit more surface level than the other events that they have, you know, once you're a paid client. But it's still it's a remarkable thing. So that was the event that I went to and spoke at in December. And
you said there's a YouTube video online?
Yeah, yeah, on my YouTube channel, my Ignite talk is on there.
I'll have that I'll make sure you send that to me, the link. I'll make sure to post that in the show notes for anybody who's listening who wants to check out Tommy's speech at Ignite.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I think I'll have to send a, you know, Ignite is the physical version, you know, especially for us in Orlando, right? So we're trying to build up a base in Orlando where we can have it Ignite here. We've got a lot of coaches on the East Coast, and so that's something I've been working on with them to bring it here. So we don't have to fly all the way to California. So I've gone to California June, July, August, December, January, and February. I've been in California. So I've flown back and forth a lot with the company. And but the 7-day challenge that they do is the same. It's similar. It's similar content without having to leave your home. So it's a lot more accessible to people. And so that might be a good thing as well. I can send you info and whatnot, because it really is, it gets people really clear on goals and identifies what the limiting beliefs are. So if you're afraid to take action, it has you do the self-reflection of why is that? What really is holding you back? And you get a coach throughout the challenge. So you're able to work with them as well to identify what that is. And then for me, the biggest thing was it's a tool. And, you know, if you read, like, I've been reading Jack Canfield's Success Principles book, because he was at our convention 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's all, quote unquote, the same stuff, because it works. And that is the concept of, like, vision boards. And what I use is something called a declaration letter. So I set my goals, and then I read a letter to myself every day as though I have achieved them. And guess what? They keep happening. So I keep going, okay, I guess this works. I'm going to keep doing it. So in the challenge, you create a letter, you set the goals, you create a letter, you create a vision board, and then you get a celebration box with a Life on Fire t-shirt, and then you're in the family. So the Life on Fire family. And if you're gay, you're in the Gays on Fire. That's a really cool resource for people, and it's $47. It's such a low price point, so that it can be accessible to the masses. When I did it, it was like $300 actually a year ago, and they brought it down to make it accessible. So anyway, I can send info on that, but that's a little bit more accessible, I think, for people living in Orlando than having to go all the way across the country. And if we get a big enough base, we can have an Ignite here. So that's what I'm going for. Yeah.
Well, let's get fired up, Orlando. Let's check out Ignite. Let's blow up Tommy's group and really get something going, because that's the whole point of this podcast. I want to organize the community, because together we can accomplish way more than we ever could by ourselves. We need to have a more community-based approach, because you know, the income inequality is growing, and I study a lot of trends and macro. There's nothing you can do about that. And that's something that I had to kind of come to terms with. I can't change the economy. Mm-hmm. I have to adapt with it. And doing something creative, or at least starting now, getting the base started so that it can potentially be something profitable in the future, that can be a source of passive income where I can be creative and work for myself. Mm-hmm. I think that should be everybody's goal in 2018. And in Orlando specifically, for the people that are living out here, I know the jobs don't pay.
We're a service economy.
I've lived up north. I've lived out west. Yeah, it's a lot of people out I know here in Orlando are hustlers. Most of us have side gigs. And I'm sure that's the same all around the country. And you mentioned the gig economy. I know that's huge. I would myself had a little foray into Uber driving and Lyft as a side hustle, man. I've done just about everything. Like you said, you've tried every business model.
Pretty much.
Earlier, I think.
I mean, I can go even back further. I've done forex trading. I've done, I the hardcore. Before the whole Bitcoin rage too. Like, I actually did forex back in 2009 when nobody had heard about it. So it's always kind of funny how things, you know, some marketer comes up with something and then it blows up. And so definitely, like, literally pretty much, you know, affiliate marketing and just so many different models, man. I've pretty much done them all.
You're definitely, I can tell you pay very close attention. You have a good idea what's in the zeitgeist, because I noticed on your Facebook page, you've been on Facebook since, 2000?
Yeah. Today's my Facebook anniversary. Wow.
So you got it when it was college only.
I don't want to create generational angst, but let's just say back in, you know, I put on my wall, you know, it was only college kids and literally nobody talked politics or religion. And there was a very definitive point where I saw the shift happen on Facebook, where that became a lot more commonplace, and it had to do with a demographic coming on board. But I remember those days. I try to stay away from that stuff. You know, even in network marketing, they say, you know, look, don't tick off half your audience. Like, why bother? You're not going to change anybody's mind. So be uplifting, be the change. You can complain about the economy, or you can go do something about it. You can complain about policies, or you can, you know, do something about it, what we're allowed to do and able to do within our established structure. So that's kind of the concept that I live by.
I couldn't agree more. I was going to ask you earlier what a high performance coach was, but I think you kind of answered that with your charisma and your energy.
I say it's about lighting up every area of your life. I think there's a plague in side hustle / entrepreneurship that you have to hustle, and yes, you have to make sacrifices and you have to work hard, but you can't do that at the expense of every other area of your life. You can't, what's the point in being wildly rich if you weigh 600 pounds with every health problem in the book, right? What's the point of, so it's really about being able to manage your energy, manage your, I don't want to say manage time, but prioritize your time, staying motivated and staying in action. So the high performance is about kind of hitting it on all cylinders. So for instance, I'll be completely honest, I haven't gotten the health part. I really need to make the gym a regular occurrence, but I make sure that, hey, I want to volunteer for things. You know, it'd be really easy to say, oh no, I don't have time for that. I got to build my business. No, that's BS. I can make time for it. It's a priority to me. And in the process, by giving back, I feel better, which just bleeds into my business because I'm happy about what I'm doing. I'm very intentional. For me, you know, I have annual passes. I'm very intentional about blocking time. And now I operate out of a calendar, but I block my time. So I say, hey, on this day, I'm going to Disney. And that is my form of, quote unquote, filling my cup, so that I can pour out into others. Especially as a coach, you have to take care of yourself. So high performance is just about every area of your life, operating at as best you can, having the time under control, managing your energy and keeping your motivation up, and then making sure you're not letting relationships suffer and the health and spirituality, whatever that means for the individual. Just making sure that balance isn't the right term, but just making sure you're taking care of you, because if you just pour out and just hustle, like, you just burn out, and then you go into this deep downward spiral where you can't bring yourself back out. And I've been there. I actually was so excited back in October. I was vibrating so high. And then I was like that for 2 weeks, and I just crashed so hard because I actually was high. But a lot of times people can be really, you know, they're pushing so hard and then you just drop low and you can't, it's so hard to come back from that and find your motivation. So if you can find that kind of happy medium, a little burst of activity, a burst of courage. You know, in network marketing, we go on like a 90-day run. So it's 30 days of heavy activity, 30 days of getting new people started, and then 30 days of pouring into the leaders that develop from that activity, and then repeating. But you're only going on one big burst. And I think that's important. So that's what high performance coaching is about, all areas, and making sure you're not depleting yourself, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
Wow. So many nuggets there. Yes. So high performance coaching, if I understand correctly, you take a holistic approach
exactly.
to getting people started in their endeavors. I couldn't agree more. I've noticed by nature of wanting to venture out on your own enterprise, whether that be a brick and mortar business, something online like drop shipping, having a website or blog, or in my case, podcasting. Going into an entrepreneurial endeavor forces you to want to operate at maximum efficiency. Mm-hmm. And you start looking for almost life hacks, you know.
Yes,
how can I be healthier to feel better throughout the day? I could definitely give you some things that have helped me as far as health. I've been on a real health kick. I've done keto. I've cut a lot of carb intake, completely eliminated all processed sugar from my diet.
That's amazing. I know what that feels like. It's so good, isn't it?
The first week, to be honest with you, Tommy, is not fun.
No.
It's not fun.
Not initially.
I was hopelessly addicted to sugar. I will admit that right now.
Yeah. No, it's like cocaine to your brain, you know, so.
But sometimes you got to think macro, Tommy. Like, honestly, when it comes to health, you don't get the rewards right away.
Yeah.
When it comes to exercise and definitely dieting. Dieting is terrible, but I take the approach and I do like a little snowball effect thing. And what I mean by that is I take that term from Dave Ramsey. He's a financial coach that I personally have read, who's helped me a lot. By snowball effect, I mean you do little things to affect long-term change. So I stop drinking soda, stop putting sugar in my coffee. And then a big thing too is education. When you mentioned personal development as being a really huge, I couldn't agree more. Educating yourself on how to just be a better person, how to be a more efficient person, is super important. And I think it's super undervalued. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they get caught up in the rat race of the 9-to-5 job, going in and out of work, and they have nothing motivating them. And I think you also touched on that too. When you're working and when you're caught in that rut, or when you have fears in your story that prevents you from reaching your goals, you can feel like, oh man, I don't have the energy. But you just need a little spark. You need to find that one thing that gives you just enough interest, and then just mash that button and attack that and focus there and nurture that. But it takes work. And I think that's where people like you are super valuable in the community, in the entrepreneur community, because I think people do need coaching. A lot of people are unaware of that it requires a holistic approach, because you will get burnt out. I couldn't agree more.
Especially when you have a job and you're doing something on the side.
Absolutely.
That was where I learned and grew the most, was building the coaching, and while simultaneously having, supporting 18 call centers around the world. That was quite stressful, right? But I learned a lot of really important things. I think along with that, one thing I always tell people, and I start people on it when I do personal clients, is the miracle morning routine. If people, I still find it's amazing to me, because I've known about it for a while, but hey, someone told me about it, right? And I didn't know about it before that. But the miracle morning routine is great, because you set your day up. And what I find, especially to the side hustlers out there, is if you can identify the one thing you could do every day that would move your business forward, and do it in the morning before you go to work. Maybe it means you're getting up even just half an hour earlier. What'll happen is later on in the day, because this is what I found, is I would have the greatest intentions of accomplishing something after work. And then something would blow up, and all of a sudden I'm in meetings with Singapore from, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. or something. And then I'd get really upset because I had this great stuff planned and now I'm behind and tomorrow I have this, and I would beat myself up and I'd be frustrated. So what I found is if I can just have one thing every day that I'm moving forward towards my goal and do that in the morning before work, no matter what happens the rest of the day, you can end the day and you can celebrate whatever it is you got done. If that means you talked to five people on Facebook about your business, or you made a connection, or you just whatever it is that you need to do on a day-to-day basis, then you can celebrate that. And if you celebrate the smallest wins every day, rather than focusing on what you didn't get done, focus on what you did. And if you do that, you're going to be in good shape mentally, combined with the Miracle Morning Routine. That just sets you up every single day. And listen to, my gosh, Orlando, I can burn through a book in one day driving to networking events. I never listen to the radio anymore. I had this realization the other day that I don't remember the last time I got in the car and turned on the radio. I am always listening to an audiobook from Audible. I have quite an extensive library. So you can use your drive time instead of listening to the news that's pouring negativity into you. Listen to the myriad of books. Whatever problem you feel like you have, go find a book and learn how to solve the problem. That's whatever you're struggling with. Go find a book that solves that problem. And if you need ideas, Google it. That's what I do. And that's helped a lot to balance entrepreneurship and having a job. And then you go in to your job and you're happier because you've been feeding all this positivity in your mind. And that affects your interactions throughout the day, which can actually create better results at work as well. So there's another little bit for you.
I love that strategy. I'm definitely going to try and implement some of those things. I also like to personally, what I find that works for me the best, that gets me the best results and more long-term relationships, is actually finding people to talk to face to face, or that are in the area that I can. Maybe you can start build. I can start building a relationship with them online, like find them on Facebook or Instagram, and then eventually meet them and foster a good working relationship, because I think that finding people that are better than you and other things, and establishing a network of people that are just that can supplement where you're weak, because we don't have the time to be experts in absolutely everything.
Definitely.
And I found myself getting overwhelmed with information in starting this podcast. Although it can be easy, there are a lot of small details that are easy to mess up, that unless you really do the research and you're diligent, like for instance, like every different podcasting platform has their own requirements for album art and things of that nature. But we're coming up on the end of drive time for most people. This was absolutely incredible. Thank you so much again for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to do this again sometime.
Yeah.
And I'd also, you know, I'd be interested in joining you in some of these meetup groups. I really want to get myself out there face to face. That's my thing. I really want to shake hands and meet people and get this podcast off the ground, so that everybody, every entrepreneur in Orlando, and hopefully entrepreneurs across the entire country and the world, can find this podcast and find value in it, and get out there and get inspired and start networking, start meeting people, start asking questions. Because I find that a lot of people get stuck because they don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for a long time.
Yep.
You won't know unless you try something.
Yes.
So get out of your comfort zone and do something. I was so nervous before this interview, I had to do push-ups, Tommy.
Oh my gosh. That's
I was doing push-ups and diaphragm breathing exercises.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a real quick comfort zone story. And
let's hear it.
All right. So one of the personal development seminars I went to, it's called Train to Trainer. So it teaches you a training method, accelerated learning used. T. Harv Eker uses it a lot. You know, he's retired now from the face-to-face seminars, but Anyway, T. Harv Eker, you can look him up if y'all don't know him. But they had this thing called Outrageous Night, and they were like, okay, so if you're going to be a trainer, you need to be outrageous. And so you had to get up on stage, and you had 90 seconds. You had to dress up ridiculous, sing to a song. You could pick the song if you wanted to, and like dance around the stage. Well, being a mobile DJ in the past, I was like, well, that's easy for me. Like, I know how to do Thriller. I have a costume. I'm not afraid to sing into a microphone, even though I don't know how to sing. And I thought, this isn't really doing it. So the instructor says, like, hey, you know, just so y'all know, there will be no cell phones. Like, nudity has happened. And I'm like, what? No, that's crazy. That's way, 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 like, insane. All and right. That's when I realized that's exactly what I needed to do. So so for Outrageous Night, I got up on stage and I had edited down Kesha's Take It Off. And long story short, I ended up completely naked on stage in front of 90 people. And so now it's you got to understand, it is a safe space, meaning there's the people that are in the room and how everything gets created. It's like a judgment-free kind of zone. So I felt comfortable or I wouldn't have done it, but it was still a big thing. And so when it comes to comfort zone, every time I, you know, when you come up to the point of, hey, I want to be a speaker, I want to speak on stage, I want to go, I'm afraid to go to a networking event. Well, look, I'm an introvert by nature. I can be outgoing and I can talk to people, but after a certain point, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I want to go back in my shell and recharge for a little bit. But sometimes I walk into a new environment and I'm scared too. I may not know anybody, and just going up and getting good at introducing yourself and starting a conversation and having it flow can be difficult. But what I always remember for me is, hey, I got naked on stage for 90 people. What do these people really have on me? So the point is, with the comfort zone, now that's a big jump because previously I had done a lot of things. But the point is that as you grow out of your comfort zone, little by little by little, you can always look back at, well, I did that before, so this isn't really that bad. And it allows you to keep growing. And that's so important. Because if you just stay in your comfort zone, it needs to expand. Otherwise, there's like your income cannot grow if your comfort zone doesn't. And whatever you're most afraid of, that's what you've got to lean into.
Exactly. Yes, I couldn't agree more. I think fear is the greatest indicator of that. Mm-hmm. For me, that I need to. That's where I need to work.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, that's why this podcasting thing is like a living project and experiment.
Well, I love it. I'm glad you're leaning into it. And
love it.
I mean, just for everyone listening, check out the Orlando on Meetup, Orlando Entrepreneur Network is the name of the meetup. And there's also Orlando Entrepreneurs Living a Life on Fire. That's my personal one. But the Orlando Entrepreneur Network has 3,000 people in it. And there's a couple events that happen on a regular basis that are free to go to. So there might be some good opportunities there for you to get out and network, not just with other like solopreneur types, but also with really well-established people. I mean, I had a guy show up at my meetup last week, who's going to be on, his app is called Connects, and he's cast on the next season of Shark Tank. And he was just like stopping through Orlando and ended up at my meetup. So you never know who's going to show up and what kind of, insight you can get from someone like that.
That's incredible. I just actually heard of another startup here in Orlando that has an app in development that's going to launch soon that's supposed to connect influencers with brands and advertisers directly.
Ooh.
So people, now is the best time to get your Instagram game up.
Yeah.
Because
wow.
That's a huge opportunity that's coming out. Hot takes here. You heard it here first. Orlando podcast. We're going to have all this information in the show notes for these meetup groups. I'm definitely going to make it a point to come to these. I know how important it is to make those impressions face to face. And that's how we're going to start building this community, this big tribe of entrepreneurs. And we're going to really change the face of Orlando. I'm fired up. Thank you, Tommy, so much. We're definitely going to have to do this again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to leave it right here. Thank you guys again. Check us out on Facebook at Views from Orlando. Please subscribe. And please, please, please It would help us out if you can leave 5 stars. I love constructive criticism. Thank you for the person on SoundCloud who sent me that comment. I'm working on trying to do improve my audio quality. I've invested in new equipment, new editing software. I'm working with a couple of local producers and musicians to get really good intros and outros for the show. I'm putting these out raw, kind of as an experiment. Again, I've mentioned this before, to kind of improve on my speaking skills and my delivery. So bear with me. I love constructive criticism. Join me at Instagram. Please hit up Tommy. Personally, I make it a point to respond to every single comment, every single message. That's my pledge to you. I don't know how long I'll be able to do that for, but but I definitely make it a point to do that. So thank you guys again, and talk to you soon. Bye.